prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and thank you for listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adusk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, it's Monday, May 20th, 2013. We're going to be talking a little bit about derivatives. We're going to be talking a little bit of what about those billionaires that are dumping stocks, and we're going to be talking about the gold prices. So make sure you stay tuned. And first, let's go ahead and get right to the metal markets today. Had a nice little turnaround in gold. They tried pressuring it down in early morning trading. It was down, you know, $20-$25 early on, but we're looking at $13.97 right now, up $36. And this had a nice little turnaround just here in the last hour of trade, $13.97. Up 36.10. Silver's up 73 cents at 23.09. We also have platinum up $35 at 14.97. Palladium up 11 at $752. USDX today, down 0.41 at 83.78. Crude oil continues to move up 0.70 at 96.72. And the paper markets today had a little bit of pressure early on in the day, just ending slightly lower today. It was a typical Monday for the paper markets anyway, down 18 at 15,335. The NASDAQ down 3 points at 34.96. S&P down one at 1666. That's where it was on Friday, 1666. And 10-year yield, 1.96 on the 10-year yield. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We got some of the lowest prices across the country. We have great shipping, and we have great service, beautiful product, quality product. And we also have great advice, so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Check out our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Good Monday, Al.
Good Monday, Melody.
Woo-hoo!
Gold is up.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I know.
I'm wiping the sweat from my brow.
I understand. I understand. Everybody's in a state, you know, anyone who's invested in gold or believes in gold, it's been a difficult, we went through another bump in the road this last week. Price fell. And we had several consecutive days of gold dropping 10, 15, 20 bucks. Ooh. You know, it is like riding on one of those rides in, you know, the haunted house. You go to the amusement park and they take you through the haunted house and ooh. Certainly, it gets scary at places. You wouldn't think you could be scared by these little rides, but it is. And it's most confusing and perhaps most, it predisposes us to a certain amount of anxiety because on the one hand, the fall in the price of gold that's been there for 20 months now, it seems irrational, doesn't make sense so far as we are able to easily understand. No one seems to have had a consistent, you know, an idea, an explanation. Everybody's, now I get it. That's what has happened. It's the mystery and the uncertainty that leads us to be anxious about what's happening to the price of gold. And certainly a lot of people are, and we are struggling to try to find out what is happening. And one of the questions is, you know, the trend is your friend. This is an axiom that we follow. Everybody who's ever invested in anything for any period of time, they get under this idea, the trend is your friend. And it's part of the reason why people make charts. Huh? We chart that the price of gold is doing, it's going up, it's going down. We chart that the price of IBM's stock is going up, it's going down. We chart whether or not the Dow Jones average going up or going down. We want to know those trends because they serve as almost a guarantee that if we act in accord with the trend, and if the trend continues, then the probability that we are going to prosper is increased dramatically. So you got to find that trend. But the question is, what happens when we have a bump in the road, as we've had in the last 20 months? And gold has dropped 29% in that 20-month period. Is this the onset of a new trend where gold is going down, or is it merely a correction in the existing trend that gold has been going up dramatically? Really, you can chase it back as far as you want to go with it. If we wanted to take the price of gold from 1800 up until today, gold is up. If we wanted to take the price of gold from 1934, when they elevated the price of gold from $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce. From then to today, price trend is up. If we go to 1971 with they got rid of the gold backing for the dollar relative to people who held dollars in foreign countries. They could trade their dollars for gold, and the government closed the gold window and made the currency a pure fiat currency, and the gold jumped from $35 to, again, $1,400 an ounce today. Trend is up from 1971. We can go through a series of events all the way from 1800 on up until now, and the trend is up in virtually in every instance except the last 20 months. And the difference is, and the question becomes, is what we're seeing a correction in an ongoing uptrend, or does this last 20 months indicate the onset of a new downtrend? I believe it's merely a correction. I believe all the fundamentals point that gold has to continue to go up, in part because, if only because, the dollar is a pure fiat currency, the Federal Reserve and the federal government appear determined to continue to print more currency in order to try to stimulate the economy until hell freezes over. They show no indication now. They've got problems. I'm not sure that they can absolutely cause inflation, but they certainly want to cause inflation. As long as we have a fiat currency, it's inevitable that the price of gold has to go up. There are a bunch of other fundamentals we talk about from time to time. The size of the national debt is one of them. I can't even remember what else runs through. But for me, that trend is still up, even though we've had a 20-month bump in the road. And it's not unprecedented. We had 18 months, if I recall, in from 1975 to 1976, when gold, the price of gold actually fell by 36% over an 18-month period. That's not so different from what we're seeing right now. We've seen a 29% decline in the price of gold over a period of 20 months. All right? These two declines, 75, 76, and the decline, the current decline, are comparable in terms of time and percentage, very similar. And after the 1975, 76, then we had a decline, serious, scared everybody, and then what happened? Gold went up about 600% in the next 3-4 years after that. Doesn't prove that we're going to see anything like that now. But we're not seeing anything that's unprecedented. We're not seeing anything that hasn't happened before. And reason tells me, evidence after evidence after evidence tells me the price of gold has to go up. But the fact that it tells me that doesn't prove anything. You know, that's my opinion. And other people are going to have their opinion, and we are still left to wonder, why is gold falling? What do you think is the explanation, Melody?
I've been reading the charts. I've been reading other people's opinions and where they think gold is going. I've been reading the positives and the negatives. And I think what you focused on is very important. I came to my own conclusion. I came back to the fundamentals of gold. We didn't have these problems. We didn't have our deficit problems. We didn't have the, you know, $85 billion going into the markets every month. We didn't have the financial crisis back in the 90s, early 90s, when we formed the company and I got into the business. We based it. The reason you needed gold and silver was of a fiat currency. It's not backed by anything. And with a fiat currency, it doesn't matter if it's our currency. It doesn't matter if it's any currency around the world that will lose the value because there is no accountability from the governments, and they will continue to print and use and create a larger, bigger government. And this is just the process. The whole, it's from 1 to 10. It's the process of a fiat currency. Mm-hmm. That is your main fundamental reason why you need gold and silver in your portfolio. It is wealth preservation. And when you have that unlimited ability to print these funds and to grow government, you have this inflation. It's there. They can deny it. They can call it whatever you want at 1%, at 1.5%, at 2%, or 3%. We all know it's more than that. And we can go back and look to see what gold has done. And I'm not going to say that gold will match it dollar for dollar. However, we go into gold and silver for the fundamentals, and if you focus on that, where else are you going to put your money? Mm-hmm. Focus on the fundamentals of bonds. Is that where you want to be? Focus on the fundamentals of the equities. Is that where you want to be? Because those fundamentals tell you, no, you don't want to be there. What else is there? Sure, you're going to find your little niches here and there, Al. But I mean, that's the whole point of gambling. You're going to find that one little penny slot machine that's going to pay you off. But are you lucky enough? Are you going to gamble with money you can afford to lose? So that's how you play the equity market. So no, the fundamentals, you can read charts or people trying to predict the future. And we all know you can't predict the future in rigged markets. The markets.
Well,
rigged.
You kind of can. You kind of even in the rigged markets, you can. You know they're going to try to push certain things down. But from my perspective, even with the rigged markets, one of the surprising things to me out of the last 20 months is that they have pushed gold down as dramatically as they have because it deflates the dollar. That is to say, it makes the dollar appear to be more valuable. Insofar as that's true. It means the government is paying off the national debt with more expensive dollars rather than cheaper dollars. They want inflated dollars. They need inflated dollars to repudiate part of the national debt. They can pay the debt off with cheaper dollars. They borrow $1 million and they pay it back. They pay back $1 million, but the million only has $800,000 purchasing power as compared to the million that was borrowed. If they can diminish the value of the dollar, they diminish the value of the national debt. It's part of their strategy for repudiating the debt, which is far too big to ever be repaid. So it is surprising. It is surprising that they have allowed the dollar to appreciate in value as measured on the U.S. dollar index over the course of the last 20 months. From my perspective, it's contrary to what I would deem a fundamental interest of repudiating the national debt. They need inflation. They borrow money, they pay it back with cheaper dollars. That means they're robbing the creditors, they're getting over, and that's what government wants to do. For the last 20 months, they haven't done that. And I have to wonder, what is their rationale? Because it seems contrary to their interests. So they've got something else going on here that they think is important. But long term, I don't see where they can, I don't see that it can be sustained. Deflation is always where the dollar becomes more valuable. Deflation is always a hallmark of economic depressions. The government, the Federal Reserve, will tell you that their business is to fight inflation, or at least they've made that claim in the past. But the truth of the matter is, their business is not to fight inflation. Their business is to cause inflation. What they've been trying to do is fight deflation. That's what they've truly tried to fight. And they've done a great job of it insofar as a dollar has gone from where $1.35 for an ounce of gold is now $1,500 or $1,400 for an ounce of gold in 40 years, thereabouts. It's 97% inflation or thereabouts as measured against gold. The dollar's lost that much purchasing power. It's what they want. It's what they should be continuing, but we see this. They're behaving in a way that seems irrational and even contrary to their best interests. And I won't say it is irrational. I'm just saying it's mysterious. It is contrary to the government's best interests, and we, at least in terms of dealing with the debt, and insofar as that's true, I have to assume that the government is going to come back and say, oh, never mind, we're not going to have more valuable dollar. We're going to have a less valuable dollar. We're going to have inflation. If they do, gold jumps. And they have to deal with the national debt, from my perspective. That's the way I look at it, and that's, for me, that's fundamental. So, I don't know, where are we? We're in a mysterious place, and the question is, how much longer can we remain in the midst of this mystery? How much longer can this be sustained? Because it strikes me as irrational. And it's not just relative to our government. Central banks around the world are inflating their currencies to try to get us out of a global economic depression. Insofar as they succeed, the price of gold has to go up. Huh? Everything I'm able to look at, or virtually everything, there's always a couple of conflicting, there's always a certain amount of contrary information, but predominantly, it all says, has to go up. Question is, when does it start to go up? I don't know. If Melody knows, she will tell us when we return. I'm going to take a break for a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, what's next?
Yeah, they need to give us a call. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to all the archives of the program at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And update, I saw a little bit of the premium come off of Silver Eagles. He didn't have an answer for me prior to the program. I called, like, right at the last minute. And he was getting some final words this afternoon. So I think it's a bet. Sure, if you've been waiting to lock in those boxes of Silver Eagles, go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I'll start making phone calls here in a little bit for those of you who had wanted to lock in Silver Eagles on the with the smaller premiums. But those were mainly for, we've been locking them in on smaller orders, and we've been selling Silver Eagles, but for the larger orders, they've sort of faded. So, and I was just talking now during the break, when you look at the American Gold or the American Eagle series, both in the gold and silver, they're down from last month. I mean, we had a tremendous buying in April. And to me, that really is what stemmed the price of going lower, was the amount of physical buying in the gold and silver area. So this month, it is softer than last month. Here we are at the 20th of the month, and for the 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins, they're showing 43,000. And we only have another week to go, and it's a Memorial Day weekend, so you know, I can't imagine that it would catch up from 43 to 187, but it could. Same way with Silver Eagles. And again, you're going to see a big bump in these Silver Eagles here at the last part of the month. We're at 1.8 million versus 4.0 million for April. So big difference from the amount of purchasing from the so I think, personally, I think something very odd happened last month. With the purchasing of gold and silver. Silver buying has been strong, and it's, you know, it's been very good. But when you look at these numbers, these are numbers that were compared back to, you know, the height of the crisis. And I don't know, it just, the numbers just seem a little odd, you know, from.
Well, everything. I mean, you can expect that in part because I'm looking at a list of the largest monthly U.S. Mint Silver Eagle sales. And there are 13 months on the list, I believe. It's over 10. I didn't count it, but I believe it's 13. And the biggest month ever was January of this year. They sold 7,500,000 Silver Eagles. And April of this year was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth biggest month ever. And that was 4 million Silver Eagles. And February is down around the 11th on the list. That was 3,400,000 Silver Eagles. And March is 13th on the list of 3,400,000 Silver Eagles. And the point I'm trying to make is that four of the biggest months ever for selling Silver Eagles have happened in this year. All right. That's now we may have a, you got to assume that when it goes up, eventually you run out of gas. All right. There's going to be a couple off months, but nevertheless, this has been the biggest year so far for Silver Eagles. Same thing with or much the same with Gold Eagles. Biggest month ever, April of this year, 312,000 ounces. Second biggest, January of this year, 275,000 ounces. Down around the 13th biggest ever, February of this year. Point with the implication, again, this is almost certainly the single biggest year they've ever had for selling so far. For selling gold and silver eagles. What do you make of that? It means demand is up. And one other point. When we talk about buying and selling gold and silver eagles, we are talking about physical gold. We are not talking about paper gold. Right? The demand for physical gold has increased dramatically. And I'm looking at an article from Andy Hoffman, ranting Andy Hoffman, and he has a graph to indicate that the purchase of physical gold is exploding while the paper demand is plunging. In terms of change, people are dramatic. I can't show you the graph. I can't show it, but the graph indicates that the demand for paper gold has fallen into negative territory as compared to what it's been in the past, and the demand for physical gold is up, up, and up. All of this is simply more evidence to support the conclusion that what we've seen in the last 20 months is merely a correction in an ongoing upward trend. It is not the onset of a new trend headed downward, right? It's a bump in the road, but it's not a new trend. And we were talked about this at the beginning of the program. The trend is your friend. You've got to identify that trend to see if it makes sense to invest in a particular stock, a particular market, a particular commodity. You've got to identify that trend, and it's hard to do. It's challenging, huh? Because the general trend, let's say for stocks, right now, general trend for stocks is up. Does anyone know why? Is it because the economy is getting stronger? Unemployment is ending? Why is the general trend in stocks going up? And it's probably because of government stimulation and manipulation and so on. But just because the trend, the general trend is up, doesn't mean that the trend for a specific stock, say IBM, isn't down. The general trend is an average. You take in the Dow Jones, you take 30 industrials, and you compute what the average is, how much are they increasing, decreasing. All right, on average, it's going up. But some of them are going down. Some of them are going up. Some of them are going down. Right now, there's more up than down. If you are astute, Same thing's true in a down market. We could have the Dow going down, but some stocks would still be going up. There is a downward trend for the general market in this example, but there could be individual stocks that were nevertheless going up. So you are faced with the choice of identifying what is the trend for the particular stock and what is the trend for the general market. So it becomes, you know, the trend is your friend, but trying to identify that trend is sometimes challenging, and that's where we are right now. Here's the trend. Are we just in the correction of an ongoing upward trend, or relative to gold, or has the last 20 months marked the beginning of a downtrend? And there's no reasonable way that we can sit and suppose that 18 months from now, 5 years from now, any period of time into the future other than next week, or even next month, we can sit back and say, gold is going to continue to go up. It's going to continue to go up. It's going to continue to go up, although we're in a downtrend right now. We're in a downturn right now. So reason tells us one thing, and yet we look at the price of gold and the rest of that sort of thing, and we wonder, is our reason correct or is it mistaken? But what else do you have? You know, you try to make sense of it. You try to put the pieces together as best you can. And this is especially difficult if the market is rigged. If people are adversely affecting the price of gold, how long can they defy reason? There's the real question. How long can the manipulators defy the forces of the free market? And they've done it for some time, especially the last 20 months, but how long can they continue? I'm looking at all these things, especially this chart from Andy Hoffman on the demand for the difference in demand between physical gold and the demand for paper gold, and the demand for paper gold has just clearly fallen through the floor in the first quarter as compared to previous. Oh, he goes back to 2011 in his graph. In the first quarter of this year, it's the first time they've had a negative measure of the demand for paper gold, and the positive demand for physical gold is growing significantly. All of that's just good news from my perspective.
Well, you know, Al, during the break, all they're doing is talking it down. They don't come up with any fundamental reasons why gold should be going down other than inflation is under 2%. They've been able to maintain the inflation rate, and that's all they can come up with. All they do is look at their charts, and they're basically talking it down, and the weak people are believing it, and they're manipulating, they're using that to manipulate the price down. I mean, it's so simple to see and so easy to understand. The fundamentals are there. And Wall Street's going to do everything, and it shows you how desperate they really are. Today, they made an announcement that Judd Gregg, he's a former senator, he's becoming this lobbyist group chief executive. And they had him interviewed on CNBC this morning, and he says, I know how to campaign. He says that, and what they're doing is they're going to release this new campaign in order to get people to get out there and loan or borrow money. They're out there trying to regulate, make regulations easier. They're trying to they're going to lobby all the legislators. They're trying to ease the regulations and thinking that this will improve the economy and, of course, the lives of the citizens. And that is so wrong. To me, it shows just how desperate they really are.
When was the last time that they introduced a program to encourage people, to encourage banks to lend and encourage people to borrow? You remember?
Well, they've been doing it for a long time, but shortly after 9/11, they really went after, be an American, buy.
Well, they created a system where the government would purchase all of the mortgages that were issued by banks. Fannie Mae would buy virtually anything the banks issued. And therefore, if the banks knew they couldn't lose on the deal, so they'd give a mortgage to anyone. And we had a situation where they're trying to stimulate the housing industry, and they were even giving liar's loans. Walk in the door, tell them you made $100,000 a year. No one even checked. If you said it, fine, they'd take your word for it. And the banks were not, they were not careful, they were not diligent, because they knew that as soon as they you negotiated the mortgage with them, they could turn around and sell it to Fannie Mae and make a percent and a half, 2%, whatever it was, basically the same day. They could get their money back, and the risk was taken out of mortgages, and therefore they'd give mortgages to anyone. Well, increased borrowing, and how did it work out? Eventually, the housing bubble burst. The housing bubble that was created by this artificial stimulation of borrowing. Huh? And it burst, and when it did, it very nearly collapsed the entire economy, and we are still in a recession that at least, and matter of fact, Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize winning economist and typically a spokesman for the government, he came out on April 28th and he said we're in a depression. He used the word depression in his column on April 28th in the New York Times. He didn't say we're in a recession, we're in a depression, and he implied that it's been ongoing since 2008. He didn't clearly say that, but he implied that we've been in a state of depression since 2008. He is apparently seeing the writing on the wall. We're really in that depression. So what was my point? I diverted off into Krugman talking about being in a depression, and I have lost my point, Melody.
Well, if you lost it.
Sir Franks, one of you has to be responsible for me losing my point. What was it?
I'll get Curly on it. She'll find it.
All right, Curly. All right, well,
find it.
Where are we going?
Let's go someplace else.
All right, how about derivatives? We've got a question from one of the listeners that came in. We're going to try to get to it on Friday. We'll start now, and we'll probably finish up with answering this maybe after we take our next break. But he writes, why are derivatives a time bomb? How will it bring down everything? I know what they are. Who owns derivatives? If banks, pension funds, foreign countries, insurance companies own them, then I can see why we're finished. How come you don't see trillions of dollars assets on their balance sheets as assets, even though they are paper? And what he's saying is whoever owns these trillions of dollars in alleged derivatives, he's saying, why don't they show up on balance sheets where people claim? And all I can tell you is the derivatives are another mystery. I can remember a couple of years ago, I believe it was Ben Bernanke, who said he had to go back and study derivatives because he didn't know what they were, didn't understand how they worked. There it was back about 3 years ago, my recollection. At the time, it was estimated that there were $1.4 quadrillion in derivatives floating around the globe. $1.4 quadrillion. It's a spectacular and finance. It's just an enormous number, and it becomes virtually incomprehensible because the world only has about $65 trillion gross domestic product each year. And here we have $1.4 quadrillion in derivatives. It's like me having an income of, say, $20,000 a year, and yet I claim to own $1 billion worth of stocks. It doesn't make good sense, right? It doesn't make mathematical sense. And the listener asking about this, he says, what is the danger, right? How will it bring everything down? Well, one of the ways derivatives can potentially bring everything down is that the numbers are of an irrational magnitude. We'll talk more about derivatives when we return after our break. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
the beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver for all your gold and silver coin needs at 1-800-375-4188. Talking about derivatives, and one of the listeners has sent us a question asking why are they so important, among other things, and how will it bring down everything? Well, the truth is, I don't know that anyone can exactly answer those questions. And part of the reason here, it says, to give you an idea, that I'm reading from Wikipedia, to give you an idea of the size of the derivative market, The Economist magazine has reported that as of June 2011, the over-the-counter derivatives amounted to approximately $700 trillion. And the size of the market traded on exchange totaled an additional $83 trillion. So ballpark figure, they're telling us that the size of the derivatives market is, ballpark figure, $800 trillion. But a couple of years earlier, we were told it was $1.4 quadrillion. Right? And now, this article continues, it says, however, these are notional values. And some economists say that this value is greatly exaggerated, meaning the $800 trillion. It greatly exaggerates the market value of the true credit risk faced by parties involved. For example, in 2010, while the aggregate of the OTC derivatives exceeded $600 trillion, the value of the market was estimated to be much lower at $21 trillion. And then they go on, they talk about the credit risk equivalent of the derivative contracts was estimated to be $3.3 trillion, and I don't expect anybody to follow what I've just said. All right? Because I'm not sure that I understand it myself. But what I can tell you is we are now looking at people 4 years ago, thereabouts, they told us there were $1.4 quadrillion in derivatives. And now I'm reading an article in Wikipedia that says, oh, actually, there's only about $3.3 trillion in credit risk equivalent. No one really knows, in my opinion, what the true size of the derivative market is. If it's only $3.3 trillion, it's not that big a deal. If it's still several hundred trillion, and therefore 10 times or more the size of the global economy. And we're not talking, we have a number out here that is denominated in dollars, or at least it's translated into dollars, that's 10 times the size of the global economy. That's in addition to our national debt. That's in addition to private debt, and MasterCard and Visa, and the mortgage and the house payments and the rest of that sort of thing, and the car payments. That's in addition to all of that. And if something happens to it, the implications have to be serious, if only because of the magnitude. What's interesting in the article from Wikipedia says a derivative is a financial instrument which derives its value from the value of underlying entities such as an asset, index, or interest rate, but has no intrinsic value itself. Now, that's interesting to me, because in that regard, a derivative is like a U.S. dollar or any other fiat currency that's floating around the world right now. Derivatives and fiat currencies have no intrinsic value. Well, what does that prove? It doesn't prove anything other than the world is based on a monetary system where you can simply conjure numbers out of thin air. You conjure fiat dollars out of thin air. You conjure derivatives out of thin air. At least the numbers, they do not make sense. They are irrational. And there, from my perspective, is the danger. You got $800 trillion worth of something that has no intrinsic value, that no one clearly understands. And yet some people, are holding pieces of paper and they look, I have $1 trillion. And I'm just sitting back and saying, look, when it is irrational, it's dangerous. Sooner or later, in my opinion, reason has to prevail. The irrational has to fail. What happens to however many people there are? People, institutions that are holding these derivatives. What happens to them if all of a sudden what has to be perceived as something like an asset, it's suddenly shown to be worthless? And it has to be. It's going to happen. There's no way in the world $700 trillion worth of derivatives. It's some sort of a massive fraud. P.T. Barnum would be proud. Whoever devised derivatives, I mean, P.T. Barnum is sitting up in his grave and say, hey, applause. Hey, that's a good one. We have fooled the suckers again. So, I don't know. Derivatives, what is their danger? It's just that the numbers are so enormous that they don't make sense. And eventually, the irrational has to be defeated by the rational. Reason will prevail, but how soon? There's the question. How much longer can they continue with the irrational, Melody?
You know what? 10 years, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I'd say not much longer. But here we are, 2013, and you know what's interesting is the underlying assets, though a lot of them do include the commodities, stocks, bonds, rates, interest rates, currencies. So you have any plunging in amount of those, and I mean, when you're talking about $700 trillion plus, and you do have like your banks, like Bank of America, where they rewrote a lot of their derivatives and they put them in separate accounts to take it off their asset side. Guess who's on the line for those derivatives? You betcha. You and me.
Taxpayers.
The taxpayers are responsible. And you have a lot of these corporations. And I believe that's why those numbers came down in the derivatives. A lot of them have been rewritten and different and taken off their books. So they're not actually accounted. So, again, it's just funny money, folks. And the best thing that you
smoke
can
and
do
mirrors.
Is get your
smoke
gold and silver
mirrors.
Coins. Because do you think maybe we're heading into another housing bubble? Here you have, you know, everybody's talking about how great the housing market is. Now you have amateur investors, okay? They're going into their 401ks, their pension plans, their retirement funds. They're borrowing against them to buy homes. It's like, don't people learn anything? Don't they get it? So they're tapping the retirement account. to buy homes. Here you had a lady who took out $50,000 loan against her 401k for a down payment on a home for a $225,000 home, supposedly a steal because the seller still owed almost $500,000 on the mortgage. Well, he just overbought. Now, what happens when she loses her job? That's going to become due immediately. She's not going to have the amount of money to continue to pay that type of funds. So you're getting all this good housing news is coming on backs of people who are borrowing to buy. They're borrowing their down payments.
Well, I understand. They're borrowing from their 401k.
They're borrowing from their 401k.
Yeah. I agree that it's probably not the best choice people can make. But I also recognize, you know, there's some instances where you got to have a home. You know, you need one now. Maybe you don't need that one, but you need a home. It's not probably the most prudent choice the woman can make.
It's not homes
in this economy.
It's not homes that they're living in. I mean, they're buying it for investment properties. They're going to turn
them
out. And I'll tell you what, they don't understand the cost involved in renting these out. They think they're going to have some sort of cash flow. You know, they're trying to get an 8% return. It's like, they might not even get a 2% return on their money. So
I understand.
You know.
Dangerous times, stimulating times, interesting times. Wish they were not so interesting. We'd maybe, not to this, the level of anxiety, the level of apprehension might not be the same. But here's one. We talk about the markets are going up. Price of gold has been dropping for the last 20 months, and for no apparent reason. Right? There are theories, and got one of my own, but there's no obvious consensus on why the price of gold has been falling. Likewise, we've seen the stock markets rising, particularly recently. Does anyone have a reason for that? Why is that happening? Has the economy become more productive? Has unemployment ended? We no longer have significant unemployment. The government no longer needs to stimulate the economy with $85 billion a month injected into the economy to try to keep it afloat. What possible reason is there for stocks to jump? Huh? And here's an article that touches on this. And this is a recent article. It was just written on 19th of May or published on Newsmax. And it says, billionaires dumping stocks, economist knows why. Despite a 6.5% stock market rally over the last 3 months, a handful of billionaires are quietly dumping their American stocks, and fast. Warren Buffett, who's been a cheerleader for the U.S. stocks for quite some time, is dumping shares at an alarming rate. He recently complained of disappointing performance in dyed-in-the-wool American companies like Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, and Kraft Foods. They go on. They mention a couple other billionaires. Well, point. Some of us see things going up. Some of us see things going down. And some people who are billionaires, handful, not a majority necessarily, but a handful of them, but significant, they are nevertheless walking away from stocks. Stock market is going up, and people who might know a great deal more about this than you and I and Melody put together, they are walking away. So let me get, where do you suppose they're going? Where are they putting their money? Just into cash? Sensibly, from my perspective, now's a great time to buy gold. Price is down. If you don't trust the stock market and you want to put your money into something that you do, you want to put your wealth into something that you trust, you could put it into cash, which has no intrinsic value, or you could put it into gold. The main point I'm trying to make is that we are at a time when there's no consensus as to what's happening. We're looking for that trend. We're trying to identify the trend so we understand better how to invest our wealth, and there doesn't appear to be a consensus on what that trend may be. And here we have billionaires dumping stocks. That is, you know, who knows? Who really knows right now? And those of us who think our way through this, or perhaps are just lucky enough to guess in a correct way, are likely to see a great increase in their wealth. Because I don't think we can continue to endure a period of irrationality where stocks go up for no good reason and gold goes down for no good reason and the world becomes confusing and incomprehensible in some regards. I don't think that kind of uncertainty can persist for long, and I don't think it can even be maintained for long. It seems to me that government and people in positions of power are trying to maintain the system. The gold is being intentionally suppressed, at least in part. Stocks are being intentionally hyped, at least in part. How long can it continue? How long can the uncertainty continue? How long can the lies continue? How long before we finally identify a trend, a real trend, up or down, that we can sit back and say for an absolute fact, this is what's happening? I don't think the current uncertainty can last much longer, one way or the other. I am beginning to anticipate a dramatic change in the near future. And by near future, we could be talking 60 days, we could be talking 6 months. But before the end of this year, something is going to break, and then things are going to go one direction or the other, and they're going to go dramatically in that direction. That's a guesstimate, that's a hunch, that's, you know, intuition, and it could be mistaken. But I just don't think the uncertainty can be sustained much longer. One way or another, we're going to see a significant change, and before the end of this year, and I'm betting that the change is going to be gold is going to start jumping. That would be my bet. What do you think, Melody?
I agree. I think these are, you know, short-term corrections, pullbacks in the market, as you say. They're talking it out. Someone asked me today, Melody, why do they want gold low to begin with? And, you know, it all comes back. It's simple if you focus on the little, instead of focusing on the tentacles of everything, you focus on the center of things, the center of the whole problem. And it's confidence. And we talked about the increase of consumer confidence last week. It's all about confidence. You cannot have confidence with high gold prices. They don't work. That's why they push that gold price down to make that confidence strong so they can continue to promote their fiat currencies. Mm-hmm. It's a mind game, and it works for them because the general populace out there don't know any better. They don't want to know any better. They've been conditioned to believe everything that they're told. If it comes off of TV, if they listen to their financial planners, it must be true. If it comes from Washington, it must be true. So, again, it's very easy to manipulate the masses. And I think we're just about out of time, but they
Oh, we're out of time by about 20 seconds. Maybe.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sales. Wendy and I, well, Melody and I will be back on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Bless you, bless.